What's up, everyone? It's Eric Vessels with Tactiful. I am the Chief Experience Officer, CXO of Tactiful. Welcome back to another episode of Tactiful Tuesdays, where we are taking Taco Tuesdays to a whole nother level by talking to people in the industry. And I'm really happy to have my friend Ryan Moskin here, who is the Marketing Manager at Harrison Brunner. Ryan, welcome.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Bro, you're episode five. You're the nickel. You get the nickel. I feel like I've got it. You know, I thought about this earlier. I was just like, oh, I should celebrate all these milestones. Maybe I'll send like episode five person a nickel, right? Nice. And then I started to like add up like what that could cost me in the future. So no nickel for you, because it's...
I was expecting like a nice little frame and a shadow box.
Yeah. You're holding out for episode 100. I know what you're doing. Like, hey, can I be on again? Episode 100?
I mean, I'm over here trying to delay. I know how your mind thinks. I'm like, yeah, if I can just hold off just for a little while here.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Ryan, so tell us a little bit about your journey in the industry. Like, everyone always has the story of like, how in the hell did you get into the printing industry? I know I have my series of happy accidents. So how about you? How'd you get in the industry and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, that's a really funny story, actually. So I've been with Harrison Bruno. I've been with Harrison Bruno 6 years now. Amazing being here. I love working with everybody here. Amazing company. At the time, you know, I was in college. I'd finished college, and I was teaching music at the time, being just a creative in many ways, and I wanted more of a career path where I could just like, you know, have a more day-to-day routine that was a little more outside the structure of teaching music, because I love music. I love being creative, but that for me was kind of sucking all my creative energy out of me because I was pouring all of it in. And so I was like, I need to be able to actually have a different path so I can be more creative. So at the time, Harrison Bruno was hiring, and they were hiring for, I want to say it was the service department, like scheduling and organizing and stuff. And I was like, all right, let me see what this is all about. And I had some background in that particular field. So I applied. I came in, I did my interview, and who was it? It was Jennifer and Leandra here at the time. And we did the interview, and at the end of it, they were basically like, you are crazy overqualified for this position. I don't think you would be challenged in it. Like, that's not a good fit for you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. No problem. And, you know, expecting just to kind of walk away from it. But Leandra, she was like, have you ever thought about sales? And I was like, no, I'm not a sales guy. and she was like, well, how about this? Give me a couple days here. I might have something that will work for you. I'll give you a call. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. So, you know, I go on my merry way. Leandra calls me back. She's like, but seriously, what about sales? Because we have something here for you guys, like being the best salesperson ever, right?
Yeah.
And she's like trying to sell me on this position. I'm like, okay, well, fine. Tell me about it, because you're obviously serious about trying to offer me a position here. So she's like, look, come work for Harrison Bruno. You can learn the sales aspect. And here's the thing. We want you to find a position where you're going to thrive. And you're telling me it's not for sales, but we like your personality, we like your vibe, and we want good people that we can find good positions for. So she hired me as an initial salesperson here. We're having an anniversary here in the other room. I don't know if you can hear that or not.
Nice. No, can't really hear
someone it. Perfect. Sorry, someone just burst in with a happy anniversary balloon for Doug. Sorry about that.
No, okay.
But anyways, yeah. She's hired me with this intention of being a salesperson. And she's like, you know, in a couple of years, I'm sure something else will open up around Harrison Bruno, and we're going to find a position where you can be happy, you can thrive, and like you can really enjoy what you're doing. And I was like, you know what? This place feels like good people to me. So let's do it. So I got into H&B, started in the sales, like on the analog side. I knew nothing about the print industry, absolutely nothing. I was very clear about that when I walked in here. I was like, so a printer, right? Like these little desktop printers? And she was like, no. Like,
not really.
Like, what do you mean? Offset web, like a web print, like you're printing online? What are we doing here? So I went in with the knowledge of nothing. But she taught me everything. I learned so much from the entire team here. I learned what an analog's role is, like all the little cells on it. It was really cool.
I
So
mean, well, that's kind of, I was just wanting to chime in. That speaks so strongly for an organizational structure that they would just recognize a person and kind of try to figure out how to fit them in. I've got this kind of philosophy that's been brewing in my head for a long time. I'm trying to sort of write a business book around it called Vibe and Tribe, right? Like being able to recognize, first of all, what your own vibe is, but then being able to recognize those who are vibrating on the same frequency and figure out a way to work with them, right? And that's been one of my, I think, biggest keys to success in the industry is creating that tribe of folks around a vibe. And I've done the same thing over the years. It's just like there's this person, man, it's not really like a one-to-one, like we have an opening, you're applying for it and it works, but it's more like I want to figure out how to work with you. So let's figure out how to make that happen. What an amazing testament just to the culture there at Harrison Bruno, and what a phenomenal story. That's a great story. That's almost as good
thank you.
as my entry into the industry story, which we won't go into details on that. We can in some later time, some later episode or lifetime, as it were. Tell me a little bit about Harrison Bruno for those who aren't as familiar. What's the H&B place in the industry? Kind of a little bit about what's the elevator pitch? If someone doesn't know Harrison Bruno, what would you say to them?
We're the coding guys. That's kind of like been the go-to, right? So it's Harrison Bruno, we're a family-owned company. Been in business for 75 years. They started at as like this little kind of odd job shop making random machinery and equipment for like Gerber Baby Foods, KFC. Like they made some really, really awesome stuff towards the beginning. And then as the years went on, they got more focused on the print industry, coding specifically, offset digital, and then most recently, digital embellishment.
And obviously that's near and dear to our hearts at Tactiful. And I know that there's been an ongoing sort of partnership. So talk to me a little bit about that. There's been some equipment development, kind of getting into that side of the industry. I know you're really active in that. We spent some time together in Chicago and at Paper Specs Live, kind of digging into all of that stuff. So yeah, tell me a little bit about that. You've got a product out too that, I mean, everyone can see it behind you. There's
Yeah. All the
ZRX
shells.
everywhere, right? Yeah. Talk about the ZRX a bit and kind of where that fits into the digital embellishment scene and into the industry overall.
Yeah, so the ZRX is our newest machine. It's a digital embellishment machine. The unique thing about this particular machine is that it has a flood an analog flood coating unit at the very start of the machine, right? So your sheet goes through the flood coater and then onto the digital embellishment section. And the beauty of that is you can do embellishments in a single pass where other machines or other applications rather, you would have to either laminate the sheet offline first or do have a specific sheet to put through. So this is really kind of eliminating the need for specific media for digital embellishments, and it's really opening up the gates to what is possible. So
And then
instead of being able to.
that's because that coder allows you to do whatever to your media that you need to set up whatever situation you need for the embellishment, yeah?
It takes out that entire variable of
A
what
specific
media is
media.
it. Yep. Because when you're building a sandwich essentially, right? You have your media, you have your ink, and then you have anything else that you're adding after that. So when you first start with that media and your ink, well, those are two variables in themselves. As soon as you put coding over that, well, those two variables are gone. And that's what you care about right there, the coding variable, because that is what your embellishment's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
You really eliminate a lot of the craziness that can occur, and it makes it simple.
Yeah, so what's been the reception, or maybe a better question than that is like what have you guys been seeing in this digital embellishment space? Like what are your thoughts on kind of what's happening? And I know we spend a lot of time talking about it, and we also spend a lot of time together talking about it. What are you seeing? What do you think's happening in that space right now in the industry, and what do people need to know?
That's a really good question. I think one thing that I've heard over and over again, Paper specs, Rupa. We just had an open house last week here at our open house. I'm hearing the same kind of pattern of people don't know enough about what it can do yet. And when I say that, I think it's an educational aspect of it. People know about gold foil, people know about spot coating. But a lot of this, the connotation tends to be it takes a long time, it's expensive, and it's almost for in some instances, they don't even consider it's a possibility on whatever piece they're designing or whatever they're doing because of these built-up connotations. Well, some traditional foilings and spot coatings, yes, they do take some time. They are expensive, and it's not always within anyone's time budget or monetary budget. So I think what I've been hearing and understanding is more people need to understand that this technology is very accessible, it's very quick. And especially on those short runs, it can be very cost effective. I think the more people that will start to understand that, the more are going to start using it or even asking for it. Because what would take you hours or maybe a couple days to set up in a traditional embellishing process, digital, it happens in minutes.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's and you're reflecting a lot of what we've seen, and we've done studies and in cooperation with what they think. We've got a study in the field now, which hopefully everybody will find. And if you are a printer with some of these devices, we definitely encourage you fill out the survey because that's how we get these studies. But in the last one that we did, those were some of the barriers, right? It's like people don't know. They don't know what's capable. They can't design for it, and they're not necessarily marketing it and selling it correctly. And all of those, the common denominator that I think you've pointed out here, in all of those things, it comes down to education and learning and understanding, right? And taking away some of those barriers. And one of the things we're trying to do on the software side, Tactful Software Solutions, is we're trying to build specific software to just make those issues moot, right? It's drop dead easy to design. It's drop dead easy to figure out the cost and the value of it, so that you're getting maximum value for these pieces of equipment. So yeah, you're identifying a lot of the same thing. All right, we've mentioned it a couple different times. Let's talk about music for a minute.
All right.
I want everybody to know that
Yeah.
I think one of the first times that we ever met, we went to a punk rock concert together. And then one of the likes, it wasn't like the second or third, it was probably half the dozen time next, we were actually at Paper Specs and went to a rock concert. And one of the things that I noticed, and I want to segue and talk about something that could be applicable to business as well, was one of the things that you were doing when we were at the show in Chicago, because you're a drummer, you were analyzing all of the equipment that he had before it even started playing. And then while it was playing, you were trying to understand how the sounds are coming out about that equipment. And I guess talk to me about that curiosity. Where does that come from, and how do you think that benefits you can benefit other people in their lives or in their business in terms of just like trying to figure out how things work? Being observant. It was driving me
Speaking
nuts,
of
by the way, but that's
speaking
fine.
of observant, that was a crazy observation by you, and I love that. So, as a musician, as a creative, as someone that just is curious in general, the oddities stick out to me rather than the commonalities.
I remember that. Yeah.
I can look at a
'Cause you were
drum
like,
kit
"Wait,
and go,
why is that drum so high or something? What was it?" Like,
it was the cymbal.
it
Hearing
was
the
way high.
cymbal insanely high. Like, I mean, you look at any drum set and there's common height in which you're gonna see things placed, but this particular cymbal was insanely just weirdly high. And I remember seeing that. I'm like, it wasn't a question of like, or a statement of that's wrong, you set it up wrong. It was like, okay, why do you have it there? I
Yeah,
want
interesting.
to know
What's
why you have it.
going to happen? What's he
What's
planning
gonna
to do
happen?
with that big high symbol over there? Yeah, that's
And I
awesome.
remember watching in anticipation of just like, I think for the first like 5 or 7 minutes of the show, I just like had my eyes on him because I wanted to see, can you please hit this thing? I want to see how you're gonna use this practically.
Yeah.
Just the styling in which he was using it was very different because you could watch him hitting all of his other cymbals. When we went to this one, he had to reach in such a way that was a little more ginger at times because it wasn't quickly accessible. And he, whether he put it there for that reason of reminding himself to slow down or because he just wanted to use a different technique on it, his actual thought process, I don't know. But what I do know is what I observed in how he played it was very specifically differently. And the tonality that came out of that was far different than the rest of the cymbals he had set up. So I love seeing stuff like that because it makes my brain go, how can I change things up? How can I maybe incorporate something a little different? Because I don't know everything. And I love seeing stuff like that because it triggers that curiosity and the wanting to know more and wanting to learn more. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, please more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from a, you know, and I got to thinking about it from a a business standpoint, because that's just normally always where my brain goes, and just being an entrepreneur type is like, again, that's kind of a vibe and tribe thing, right? Like, I enjoy being around curious people because curiosity, in my experience, is kind of how almost everything is created ever. Like, you're wondering how that's done, or you're wondering why it's done, or how it can be done differently. And I think that's a core thing that I see with really successful people, is they are curious. Like, there is just a core curiosity, right? And then you've probably got your types of folks that we need. Don't get me wrong. Like, we still gotta build cars and you know, screw this in at this time and on this kind of a rate. But you know, there's your folks that are just like checking off things. They're not really curious about it. They're just doing what they're doing. So I thought it was a fascinating moment. It was super fun. And if you're ever out there and there's a concert at a good concert on a night where we're at an event together, please invite me. I will go. I'll probably buy you a beer. We'll have a great time. It'll be good. So, Ryan, just wrapping up a little bit. Talk about how kind of Harrison Bruno and Tactful, you know, have worked together, are working together, and kind of where you think that can go in terms of what we're doing can kind of help what you guys are doing, and also just your thoughts maybe on just partnerships in general, like in terms of like within the industry or within business, you know, how important are partnerships, and what kind of fuel or curiosity comes out of those types of arrangements?
It's a really good question. I
That's the
really
second
like
time
it.
you've said that. I think I'm asking good questions.
Eric, you always ask good questions. And
I'm
I love that
curious,
about you
Ryan. You
because
know why it is? Because I'm really curious.
you're curious. I love that about you because, like, anytime we're hanging out, you're always asking things and, like, we're always bantering back and forth. What about this? What about that? And again, the creative
Yay.
juices get going. It's awesome.
Well, but I mean, back to the Chicago show, I think we formed a band, if you remember correctly.
We did. We did. What was the name of it again?
Suicide Squirrels.
Suicide Squirrels.
I'm still
Yeah, we
recruiting.
still need to record.
I'm still recruiting some members. I've got my other band.
Perfect.
I've got to finish up some recording. Anyway, I'm
Anyways,
distracted from your partnership conversation.
I don't think this was a distraction. I think this was a perfect example of partnerships right here and collaboration, because that's exactly what partnerships do. They give collaboration, they give opportunity to just bounce things off, see what sticks, and make sure that we're looking at things from all angles. You know, Quam here at H&B, he's we have not met Quam yet.
Haven't.
This man can design like no other. He's phenomenal. But I love working with him because we bounce things back. What about this? What about that? What, and at the end of the day, we can come up with something amazing together. But focusing more now on the tactful H&B relationship, I think it has been amazing for the fact that going back to education here, you guys have brought so much of this educational aspect to digital embellishment and just bringing that to light to people. And you're able to kind of sit back a little farther from things and see how that landscape looks, see all these digital embellishment opportunities out here, see all these digital embellishment manufacturers out here, and then go, okay, how do we better educate everybody else about this so that they ask for digital embellishment, so that they understand it a little better, and so that when they look at the machine, they don't just go, well, it's another foil and spot coat machine,
Yeah.
because
Nobody's
that's not
asking
what it
for that.
is.
Nobody's
Nobody's
asking for
asking for
that.
that.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%. I mean, and I think that's what I view our role as kind of a There's education, obviously, but it's also about sort of demystifying the whole thing in a way. So that on the vendor side, there's some demystification to be done for sure in terms of how to engage their customers. But on the customer side, the printers, there's a lot of demystification of all of the barriers that we talked about before that are coming out of the studies that we're learning. And that's what all of our trainings are about, is try to, take them through this 8-week boot camp, where at the end of that, they're like, oh, we understand it, right? Like, not that they're not gonna have struggles, or business is cyclical, sales up, sales down, whatever. You got the right people in place, you don't have the right people in place, those are always going to happen. But if you don't have that base knowledge of like what's possible and how to work and how to do it and how to make money and how to not leave money on the table, then it's not there. And we definitely value the partnership. That was one thing, like first people that I met that when I joined Tactful was a bunch of Harris and Bruno people, and I didn't know that it was different companies at first, because that's how great everybody was getting along. But I absolutely love that. Last little bit here, we always sort of finish up, and I know we've talked a lot about music and personal stuff, and hopefully people have enjoyed this banter back and forth. But I want to ask you, if a friend of yours was having a kid and they were going to be raising a kid, and they said, "Ryan, what's the best piece of advice I could give that you've learned in your life, just to tell my to pass that on to my kid as they're going through life, whether it's doesn't necessarily have to be work, but what is a really good piece of advice, something maybe that someone has told you over the years, that a family member or a close friend or whoever, what is one key piece of advice you can leave us with?
Never
Always
stop
buy the
being.
concert ticket.
Always buy the concert ticket, 100%. If Eric's asking you to go to a concert, go, because you may see Gandalf playing the bass.
Absolutely, gosh. So bad. I'm so bad. I ask
Oh,
you a question and
it
I
was so
answer
good.
it.
It was
You're
so
not
good.
able to
It was
do
so,
it.
no, it was so good though. I appreciate that. Always be curious and never stop learning. Like if you're
So good.
explore. There's so much out there. And also always buy the plane ticket. You want to go, go.
Always take the trip. Always buy the concert ticket.
Always.
One of my heroes is Hunter S. Thompson, right? He says, "Buy the ticket, take the ride." That's the thing. Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure, my man. Thank you for giving me the honor of having you on episode 5, Tactful Tuesdays. Learned a little bit about Harrison Bruno, learned a little bit about you, digital embellishments, rock and roll. I mean, it can't get any better than that.
We hit it all today, I think.
Appreciate you, my man.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Eric.
See you.